Well, we stand in a long line and a long tradition of holding the Bible up as Protestants, as the, well, as the key to life. I mean, that's really what the Reformation was all about the release of the Word of God to all people in their own tongue and their own language, so they could understand. And I suppose for me personally, I didn't come from a Christian home. I didn't grow up going to church. And a large part of me coming to faith was a friend challenging me to read the Bible. And when reading Scripture, I really came to an understanding of my own sin and myself and the need of a Savior in Jesus Christ. And so I hold the Bible very, very dear to my heart, because it's the means of how God speaks into the world. It's not just black ink on white pages, as an old mentor used to say to me. It's the living Jesus. And so as we come, just before we come to think about the work of Wycliffe and what it does in Bible translation, I just wanted to read a portion of Scripture with you. It's 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 into really chapter 4 and verse 5, and it says this: "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." A scripture that teaches us of the grounding of the Word of God, the importance of it in all things. It's in light of God's Word that Paul exhorts Timothy to preach that word, and that's the word that brings life to us. So again, Marlene, if you'd like to come up and speak to us really about the work of Wycliffe, you're very welcome.
Thank you, and good evening. I want to begin also by thanking you for the invitation to come and speak here, to share something of the work that Wycliffe do. I was going to introduce myself briefly. Well, as you said, my name's Marlene Ferguson, and this is us. I'm married to Ricky, or Richard up here, and our little daughter is called Emily, after her great-grandmother. So I'm sure a lot of you do know her. Is the sound coming across okay? Yeah, that's all right, just checking. I'm sure a lot of you do know her well. Unfortunately, she couldn't come with me tonight. She has broken her arm. She's been in hospital, and she's just been moved to Mid Ulster there the weekend, but we're just praying for her recovery. But it's a pleasure for me to be with you in First Tantrum tonight. I want to take the opportunity just to say thank you. There's a few of you here who have offered encouragement to both Ricky and I, and over the past few years, and we've really appreciated that. So, as for Wycliffe, I've been with Wycliffe for 9 years now. I was drawn to it initially by a strong sense of calling to mission and a love for languages. And whenever I heard about Wycliffe while I was at school, I was immediately drawn to it. I knew there was something I could do. I discovered the immense need that there still is for Bible translation right across the world. And I hope that tonight I can convey some of that to you, encourage you to see how you could also be a part of it. So who are Wycliffe Bible Translators anyway? We support Bible translation into languages that still need it. Our vision is for all people to have access to God's word in a language that they can truly understand. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, surely everybody has the Bible by now. You know, this is 21st century. We've had the Bible for a long time. But I think you might be surprised. Let's see. I wonder, before I click on, I wonder if any of you have any idea, would you be willing to hazard a guess as to how many languages there are in the world spoken today?
5,000?
5,000? That's a good estimate. A bit higher? Often people start off saying 200, you think. There's 6,918 languages in the world. As for how many of them have the complete Bible, 531 of those have the full Bible. Okay. Does that shock you? 531. Let's go onward. There's 2,833 languages in which we are working, or which already have a New Testament or portions of Scripture in that language. Okay, so these communities are getting the word, but there's still just under 2,000 languages that may still have need for translation work to begin. 1,860. Now, for any mathematicians among you, you might be saying, do these add up? I'm not sure if anyone has already added them up in their head yet. If you add the last three numbers there, they do not add up to 6,918. But the reason they don't is because we've done a lot of survey work, and there are actually maybe, I think, it's about 1,500 who could share a Bible with another language. Okay, so we're not just systematically making sure that every single language, whether they need it or not, has a Bible. That number has already been well whittled down, discovered that there really is a need in those final 1,860. Okay. I just wanted that to be clear. But what's important is that there's 180 million people represented in that bottom number. If you think that the population of Northern Ireland is about 1.8 million, that's 100 times Northern Irish people, okay, that still don't have access to God's word in a language that they can understand. Now, when I first heard about this, as I say, I knew that I just had to get involved. There was no question in my mind. I was in upper sixth. I was studying for A-levels at the time, and I applied to go on a summer camp in with Wycliffe. This was in the south of France, and I spent 3 weeks just finding out more about what was involved in linguistics and literacy, etc. And at that time I prayed that if God wanted me to be involved in his work, then that he would keep that interest alive in me right throughout the 4 years of university that followed. And he did exactly that. So I applied during my final year of university and was accepted. And following that, then spent a few months in training, and then went onwards to Democratic Republic of Congo. Here we are. Via Kenya, via a few months in Kenya to get used to a little bit of Africa before moving onwards to northeastern Congo, which was far more different. It was a big step for me to go to Kenya, and it was a bigger step for me to go into the village where we were in Congo. Give you a few pictures here of what we were doing. We relied on MAF pilots to get to where we were going often. MAF do a tremendous work. Then up in this corner and down at the bottom corner, we're working with local language teams. We worked with 11 different languages in northeastern Congo to make picture dictionaries in the languages there. The picture dictionaries, the reason for that was that these languages were just getting written down. People were mainly from oral societies, so they weren't used to reading and it's important to focus on literacy in order to encourage them to be ready to read the Bible when it comes to them. Okay, and maybe I'll come back to that a wee bit later. Obviously, our mode of transport was often the motorbike. That was the most useful way to get around. Now, we finally finished 7 of the 11 dictionaries during that 2-year period. Then I came home. It was at the end of our term. I came home and spent a couple of years here at home, went to Bible college, but then returned for 3 months to try and finish off those final 4. And while I was there, a friend came to visit me with one of his dictionaries, which was in the original batch. And I have never found a well-used, tattered book looking so beautiful. That was great feedback. That showed to us that literacy was so worthwhile and very highly valued in the communities there. Now, since then, I've been working in Northern Ireland here, sharing about the ongoing need for Bible translation. I'm sharing that with the church here at home in order to encourage both individuals and churches collectively to get involved in supporting it. My husband, Ricky, he has also just joined the Northern Ireland team just before the summer. And so together now we're working with the same aim. Unfortunately, Ricky wasn't able to come tonight. He's actually sharing in our home church in Ballyhenry about how things are going so far, so giving them feedback, or else he would have been here. But we've really come to realise how, in fact, Bible translation is not actually the work of Wycliffe, but Bible translation is rather the work of the church, and Wycliffe is the agency to support and encourage it. Wycliffe may be the agent that provides the technical training and support, but actually we are all individual members that are sent by our home churches who have understood and want to support that vision, and who understand the need for Bible translation and want to see people all over the world with Bible in their hands. Without the church at home, none of us would be doing what we do. And without the church, both at home and across the world, who are designed to carry on that baton for our brothers and sisters who still await the Bible, this work wouldn't be happening. Okay, so Bible translation is actually it's the work of the church. And this, Wycliffe is an agent through which it's being supported. Together, well, there he is. Smiling at us. Together we work for towards Vision 2025. This was drawn up in 1999 when Wycliffe and its partners across the world sat down to face the facts. At the current rate of the 1990s, it would have taken another 150 years for every language community to receive God's word. In that time, several generations would have come and gone, and it just wasn't fast enough. So the decision was taken just to rapidly speed up the process by increased partnering with other bodies and by training local translators to become consultants and move on to neighbouring languages to assist the work there. And so Vision 2025 was drawn up that together with partners worldwide, we aim to see a Bible translation project begun for every language that needs one by the year 2025, because we believe that it's important, and so we're working hard towards that aim. Okay. Now, there is so much work involved in bringing a New Testament to completion. It can take up to 20 years. However, with IT support, that has been greatly reduced, and we're very thankful for that. But it can take a long time. Now, often people ask me, why do you have to go? I'll come to this in a second. Why do you go to all that work? Can't you just teach people to speak English or French or Arabic? And you know, it's not really that simple. First reason is that not all people have enough education to be fluent in languages of wider education. Okay, so for example, when I was in Congo, the national language was French. But only those who had enough money to go to schooling for, I don't know how long you need to be at school in order to fully understand French and grasp everything that's in the Bible in French. I mean, if I was allowed to ask how many of us have studied a little bit of French here, could we have a show of hands? How would you like me to give you a Bible in French and say, well, that's the best we can give you? You've studied it. You should be able to read it. That's just how it is, okay? Even with 90% knowledge of a second language, that's not enough either to fully understand the complexities you might find, some of the truths in the Bible. But also, and I think this is probably one of the most important reasons, God is not a foreign God. God is a personal God, and he understands each and every language, and he can communicate to us in the language that we know, and he can also communicate to anyone around the world, regardless of what their language is. Okay? No one should have to learn a second language to find out about Jesus. Here's a little example here. I'm going to read this through. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God is making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now imagine that you had a good knowledge of English, but you didn't understand it all. I think there would be three words in this verse that you didn't understand. What do you think it would be? You can just shout them out. Ambassadors. Implore, reconcile, I hear. Okay, let's read the verse again. We are therefore Christ's, as though God were making his appeal through us. We, you, on Christ's behalf, be something to God. There's not a lot of meaning there, is there? It's important to have the Bible in a language that you can understand. Okay. Now, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said to them, there are many different languages in the world, and each one has meaning. Now, one pastor that we've known has testified, saying, it, as in the Bible, has changed my life. And God is not from some other place, nor is he just the white man's God. He's the people's God. Because we have God's talk in our own language, God talks straight to us and to me. It's because it means that I know Jesus and Jesus can speak in my talk. Okay. Also, when it comes to translation and literacy, these things really can go hand in hand. I recently had two illustrations. Let's see. Oops. I'll go on here. I recently had two illustrations shared with me. Patrice, for example, he commented that, I've been a Christian for a long time and I've heard lots of stories and teaching. I thought I knew the Bible well enough and I didn't need to know more. However, when I learnt to read and write in my language, I was able to make use of the WAMA New Testament. It was then that I discovered that my understanding was incomplete, and that there are things of which I was quite ignorant. Hearing French sermons interpreted into WAMA was not enough to give me knowledge of the Bible. I needed to read it for myself in order to understand it better. I thank God for literacy classes which have enabled us to discover the great treasures hidden in his word. So he had the Bible in his own language, but he also needed to read it for himself. And so we do focus on literacy as well, because that's important. There's no point, for example, in giving someone a tin of baked beans without giving them a tin opener to make use of what's inside it. We need to encourage that and give them the tools to use what's inside. Furthermore, this lady told us that we, WAMA women, we used to live in ignorance. We were exploited by our husbands, and even worse, we were often tricked by the people among whom we live, away from our homeland. Today, however, we sell our crops. We know how to manage our money. Our husbands and the traders in the market can't trick us anymore. At harvest time, we know how to plan and not waste our resources. And for us, the greatest type of planning is that which allows the spacing of pregnancies. Without literacy, we would die in ignorance. See, discipleship and development can go hand in hand. Now, on mentioning literacy, I want to add that there are many efforts that are now in place. Here we are. To make recordings of scripture. As we see up here, there's a Bible on one side. This is a solar-powered MP3 player over here on the right. Often people can form listening groups. These have become very popular in some areas where people will gather in one house to listen on the MP3 player to a passage being read. They don't have to read it, but they can listen and then take the time to discuss the meaning and application afterwards. Also, the Jesus film is based on the Gospel of Luke. So once Luke's Gospel is translated into a language, they can quite quickly and easily produce a copy of the Jesus film, which is dubbed into that language. And that's something really exciting for the people. See how many people that have turned out to watch this show in here. Thousands, really. And for some of them, that'll be the first depiction that they see of Jesus, and they hear his words through that medium in their own language. And it's very powerful. I heard a pastor in Congo once comment that you can't show the Jesus film without someone coming to Christ, because it spoke very much. It was the Gospel of John speaking into their hearts. Let's see. The Presbyterian Church, in fact, outlines that it is the privilege, right, and duty of every person to examine the scriptures and to act upon it in obedience. So there implied is a responsibility that we have as a church to make that possible for every person. The Westminster Confession of Faith is a bit below it, goes on to expand it. And I've just put an orange there. Well, let's just read it. Because these original tongues are not known to all the people of God who have right unto and interest in the scriptures and are commanded in the fear of God to read and search them, therefore they are to be translated into the vulgar language of every nation as the heart language of every nation unto which they come, that the word of God dwelling plentifully in all, they may worship him in an acceptable manner, and through patience and comfort of the scriptures may have hope. Now, just to add to that, there we are. I want to read from Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." See, we have actually had the Bible in English for over 400 years now. Think how much God has blessed us. Therefore, he blesses us, not so that we can sit back, put our feet up and enjoy it, but so that we can bless others out of the bountiful supply that he has given to us. As, in the words of a former Wycliffe International Director, George Cowan, he put it like this. He said, "I can't go before God honestly and ask him, 'Lord, you've given me the whole Bible. I've got multiplied versions, more than I know what to do with. But what about that poor guy there? He's one of a little group of 300. He's got nothing. What should I pray for him? Lord, give him some crumbs when I'm stuffed with a gourmet meal. I can't pray that. It chokes in my throat. I can only ask that God give him the same as he's given me. How can I ask for anything less than what God's given to me for every other man? I'm no better than they. And I hope that no one will ever be able to say in heaven that they stopped before they came to my language. Now, some of you may have been thinking, I'm not a linguist. But, you know, you might be surprised by how many roles I've had this up here the last little while. There's so many roles that it takes for a Bible to be completed. And I didn't come to share this just for the fun of it or for entertainment, but because it's something important, it's something that we can get involved in. As you see, there are the big letters up there. We'll have a wee look at them. You can certainly pray, and I've brought some materials. I hope you can go away with some of them that are down there by the door tonight. Words for Life is our magazine. It comes out 3 times a year, but it's also a prayer resource. In it are our daily prayers to take us through and enable us to pray in an informed way. There's also the Wycliffe News, which has just 100 words from everyone from Northern Ireland who is involved, and give updates 3 times a year as well. So you can take that away. If there's anything that you would like to receive on a regular basis, fill in one of these little cards or speak to me, and we can get you signed up just to receive those either by email or by post. Okay? You can do that. Also, under prayer, we have so much prayer material. It would be great to come even for take a prayer meeting some night. We've got so many things. If there's a topic that you want to look at, you really would like more help and information how to pray for it, we would be happy to do that. Let's see, we'll carry on. You can give either individually or collectively as a church. Or maybe it would be something that you would like to partner with a project overseas while they are translating or a book of the Bible or New Testament. Have a think about it. Talk to each other. Imagine that. You could also go speak to me afterwards if you think this may be for you. Or take one of my cards from the back and you can get in touch with me later. We have a summer workshop. I mentioned that I went to France, and that was part of my journey towards coming to Wycliffe. We have a similar camp running again in the south of France, mainly for student age, to do a little bit of study and find out what's involved in linguistics and the literacy, and see if that's something for you. We also have a one-to-one program for people who want to go away on a longer period, between 6 months to a year or so. One-to-one is often, it's great because it's the kind of thing that you can use the skills that you already have, whether it be accountancy, I could pick a lot of those off there, management, administration, teaching, IT support, there's a whole range that you could use for a short time abroad, and it would really be of benefit. The other thing is that staying is also the new going. I brought one of these it's the past issue of the Wycliffe News, but on the front of it, see the one with the picture on the left hand side, on the front of it says Opportunity Knocks. This opportunity is something really exciting. I mentioned MP3 players, but we're also putting the Bible onto mobile phone apps. You would be surprised the amount of smartphones that you see in countries and in rural villages. I do not understand it, but they are there, okay? And people will use those to watch little sound bites of a video, but also they can receive the Bible on an app on their phone. And there's over 100 translations that are just waiting to be put onto this app. And they want to do it in a way that they can listen to a reading of it and read at the same time. And you know the way whenever you're watching TV, the subtitles come up? We just need people, just manpower. You don't have to be a computer technical geek to do it. You just have to be able to press a couple of buttons when someone pauses or stops. You don't have to understand the language even. You just pause or stop. Churches here in Northern Ireland have have done this for a couple of languages now. It's really exciting where a few people have got together, four or five people, and worked through the New Testament, enabling them to have the New Testament on their phone. Okay? Take one of those and have a read about it and speak to us if that's something that would interest you. Okay? Lastly is tell. You can just go away from here and tell someone tonight about what you've heard. Or you can pick up the information. You can get it regularly and feed it into your church prayer meetings or prayer groups that you belong to. Just get the word out and about. We've just had one girl recently who has said to us that she really would like to join Wycliffe. And you know, she heard, she'd never had contact with any of us before, but it was by someone who told her a little bit about it. And she got onto the website to get in touch. So just do share it, and we would really appreciate your help in that. Okay, now, I think that's about enough for now. You know, there's so much that is involved in Bible translation that I could stay here all night and would keep on talking. But stop for now, and we want to close in prayer. I'll hang around to chat, be happy to chat to anyone afterwards. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that you've given to us. We thank you how you spoke to people long ago, had them write it down so that we would have it here, present, able to study it. And we find comfort, Lord, in your words. We find guidance, we find strength, we find assurance. Most of all, we find the way to salvation. We thank you for how we can read all about Jesus' life, even though we live such a long time after he was here on earth, Lord. But your Holy Spirit can speak to us through your word. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us to take on that responsibility to continue to share this with others, that they might have the blessing that we have had for so long. Lord, we pray that you will also help us to continue to read it and for it to impact our own daily lives. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to meditate upon your word and just to love it and to love you, Lord, that your name may be glorified. Father, we pray all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.